Well, the Spirit of God is overing over you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He wants you to receive Him. Hallelujah. 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 Just say in your heart, I receive you, Lord. I receive you, Holy Ghost. I receive you, Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Just thank God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the Holy Ghost.
Ruler.
Just thank Him for the Holy Ghost. Thank Him for the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Thank Him for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That feeling you have, that's the Spirit working on you. Just give way to it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Fire
yes,
be within
thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Fire be within him.
Okay, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Yes. That feeling you feel within you.
Amen.
Inside of your chest. Yes, that is the Spirit working. Hallelujah. I want you to give way to Him. Keep on giving way to Him. And keep on giving way when you go home tonight. Just keep on praising God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, when I went upstairs, one of the little ones had some type of like flu or some kind of garbage, you know, and I didn't feel that it was anything but spiritual, but I felt like that we need to pray that that spirit would not be able to run through the children.
Oh,
understand?
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the little kids got sick upstairs. Hallelujah. And sometimes these things do happen when spirits start getting afraid of what is coming against them. So praise God in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every spirit and we bind all the spirits that have been cast out tonight.
Amen.
And they must not touch the children or touch anyone.
Yes.
We command the spirits to leave.
Amen.
And to not to touch God's people.
Amen.
From this building in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All I
pray to you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The path is free. And yea, it is for this cause that I have called thee unto myself, that thou art indeed maybe a freer, yea, a freer of my creation. Yea, indeed, all creation doth wait indeed for the sons of God to come and to liberate them. And yea, I say that I am calling this people to be a liberator of the captives. Yea, I would call thee this day to receive of me power. Yea, I see a power to break all of the fetters and the strongholds and the bondages of the devil. Yea, I would call thee unto day, this day, to be a freer of the people. Yea, and I would say that I will call thee and I will free thee. Yea, I will free thee this day, my people, and I shall set you free that you may indeed release all creation to worship and praise the mighty name of the Lord.
Amen.
Ooh, Rabasu.
Hallelujah.
Bringing us again to the dining table. You know, the priests would go to the dining table every morning. They would change the bread in the tabernacle and they would eat that bread and they would put the new bread and they take the meat. And so the table of the Lord, or the table of showbread, was called the table of the Lord, or God's dining table, where the priests would eat. Praise be to God. This dining table is spread of the Lord, And I'm suggesting to you that it is the wedding feast.
Hallelujah.
You know, in time past, we were told we were going up into the sky to have the wedding feast. But it seems we are up in the sky now because we are having the wedding feast right down here. And God is saying that we should make sure that we be not one of those who were in the wedding feast but didn't have the garment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The garments of righteousness. For this is free. Hallelujah. For all those who come to the wedding feast, the garments of righteousness is free.
Amen.
God gives it to us. Amen. It's nothing we have to buy. As a matter of fact, if you bought it, it would be no good. Because it would be your garment. And God wants us to have His righteousness. So, praise be to God. We're going to look into a word tonight. The word has been well testified in our midst. And this is the true message. Get the message, and I wanted to wait and to hear the song service. Praise God. I wanted to hear the words of prophecy and everything. And the deliverance of Israel is by the blood. Amen. And I'm going to just deal with that subject for you. Praise God. We could get to Ephesians first of all. And look at the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. We hear it quoted so often, but if we look at it tonight, we may get something else out of this one verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's, we do not fight against humanity, but against princes and their kingdoms, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness that we know nothing about in high places. I wish I had a time, really, to go into some of this, that you might even know what is meant by spiritual wickedness in high places. I have seen spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, high places mean higher than the places where we walk in God, comparatively. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying God is calling the church to a higher place in God, because there is spiritual wickedness not in low places but in high places. And if you are not high in God, they will unseat you.
Amen.
Oh yes,
that's right,
they will unseat you. Praise be to God. I've seen men got killed by spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God.
Right.
I once knew a man that could look at you and he tell you your name. He tell you where you're coming from. He tells you why you have come to him. And he tells you what you want to know. Hallelujah. And he said, don't tell me anything. Praise God. He said, don't tell me anything. He said to this man, you, the man pushed his hand in his pocket, said, how much do you charge me for telling me all? He said, no. He said, you go home, and when what I have told you come to pass, you put that money on your table, in your room. He said, there is a table. He told the man where. He said, there's a table in your room at such and such a point. You put down that money on that table. And he said, I will take it. The man locked his door, went to bed that night, put the money on the table, But by morning it was gone. I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places that you know nothing about. When Paul was talking, he had come up against Elymas, the sorcerer. Hallelujah. And he had defeated Elymas by the power of God, because he was walking in a higher place than Elymas.
Hallelujah.
And Elymas could not contend with him. Amen. Praise be to God. But there were many Christians who were bound by the same Elymas. And I say they were bound by him because they did not even realize that he was in their midst. Hallelujah. And not repented. And praise be to God, I have seen people come into the church. I have seen men who walk in wickedness come into the church and were allowed to preach in the church, to preach to Christians, and the Christians said amen, because he blinded their eyes. He had more power than they.
Amen.
They were not walking with God. Let me show you something in the scriptures. Turn your Bibles around with me to Matthew, and it's something you read every day, right? You read these things every day, and sometimes you miss them. And we look at the is it the seventh verse? Yeah, seventh chapter, I mean. And you go down to the 21st verse. 7, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, a lot of people going around doing miracles, but they're not doing the will of the Lord. And there are a lot of people who will come up and prophesy to you, lay hands on you and prophesy to you, and you say, "Ooh, he's wonderful because he knew exactly what was in my heart," but he's not working with God. Unless the prophecy brings blessing to you, unless the thing is to glorify Jesus Christ, it's not of God. And sometimes there's a thin line. And God expects you, the Christian, to feel it, to discern it within yourself. Hallelujah. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? Do you know that devils are con men? You ever got caught up between two con men? Amen. One day, I was late for the train, running down to get something off to my father, and I was walking hard going down, and these guys thought, you know, well, this guy's walking like a country man, you know. The man who used to step over hills, he walks differently when he gets into the town, you know. I don't know if you know that, but hallelujah. Amen. Where I come from, you see a country man walking along, you know that he's used to walking on rocks and so on. And so they saw me stepping along, and they thought I was a country man. And this guy came down on me, and he said, sir, he said, you know, he lifted out of his pocket a big wad of money, you know, and he said, I just took this from a Chinaman. You know, Chinaman's supposed to be foolish. Amen. He said, I just took this from a Chinaman. No, I'm talking about Jamaica. And he said, I want to make a deal with you. If you will just get me some change. I'm running along now. I saw a man coming from the opposite direction. And he said, What's that? He said, it's money? Come, let's go. You know, he pulled me into the corner before I could. And the two of them were working together, but they pretend to be strangers. And devils work like that. Con men. Hallelujah. One comes and he oppresses you, and the other one comes and says, let me cast him out of you. Amen. And when you cast him out, he makes you vomit. You know, and they said, oh, you got the devil, you got free from the devil because you vomit. Well, I tell you, I vomited many times and never one devil came up. Oh, yes. You can get an upset stomach and vomit anytime. But devils, they do that, you see. If you believe that when you cast the devil out, he's going to vomit, then they oblige you. The moment you said out, he vomits. Better than that. I knew some devils that any time they see a certain preacher, they vomited. As the preacher walking through the door, the people start vomiting. One time they had a meeting in a hotel, and I mean the whole floor was destroyed. Hundreds of people vomiting on the floor because they believe that when they vomit, they get rid of the devil, and they did it the next day, and the next day, and they'll keep on getting rid of devils, and they just keep on going around. But I'm talking about what a con men devils are. They will deceive you if you believe that when a devil come out, he goes, oh, he'll do that for you. Oh yeah, I make the sound and all that. And I've seen many devils come out without one sound.
Amen.
Get out of here. We don't want to hear from you. We don't want your name. We don't want anything. You want to get out of here. And out he goes.
Amen.
So God said, we are fighting against princes, and not under the princes, but their polities or their kingdoms. Principalities and powers. Hallelujah. And the rulers of darkness of this world. And so he said, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now isn't that sad? Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Praise God. And the key verse here is that not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? Doeth the will of God. You know why? No devil can do the will of God. A devil cannot do the will of God. Praise be to God. Now we go on. I want you to turn your Bibles with me back to Daniel. I want to show you here what the blood of Jesus Christ did in the beginning, and what the blood of Jesus Christ is doing right now in the end, and that you must begin to believe in this force. Believe in this force, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You turn to Daniel chapter 10. And we begin from the 11th verse. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now here's a strange story. The prince of the kingdom. Who is a prince? A prince is not a king, right? What is a prince? It's someone who expects to get the kingdom. Isn't that so? Oh yeah. He expects to inherit the kingdom. So he was the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Praise God. What's this? Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now it says here that there was an angel named Michael, and that this angel named Michael came to help me. Who is this Michael? Why is it Gabriel could not deliver the message to Daniel, yet Michael could deliver it and cause him to come and deliver it? Let's turn our Bibles around to Revelation chapter 11 and look at the situation in the end time, and see if that situation resembles to you the same situation we just read about. In the 11th chapter here of Revelation, we see in the verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called Satan the devil, etc. Praise be to God. Here is Michael mentioned again. But turn with me back to Daniel again and get to Daniel 12. You know, when you bring your Bible to services with me, you're going to have to use it. Hallelujah. Turn now to Daniel 12 and see if we see this Michael mentioned again. Chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall who? Michael stand up. And then they explain who is Michael, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, who then is this Michael? He is an angel that stands up for the children of thy people. What people? Israel. Not the Jews, but Israel. I want you to understand that. Amen. That Israel is slightly different from the Jews. You see, Israel started with the Jews, but Israel is going to end with us. And that both Jew and Gentile, God is bringing into one, help me, one new man. Amen. You understand? That Jew and Gentile is Israel. Israel will be that new man, that church of the firstborn, that new creation of God. Okay, now this prince is charged by God to bring this church, to fight with this church, to help this church to come into that place. Both the Israel out there, the natural Israel and the spiritual Israel, will come into one to be one Israel. Now, Michael therefore came down and he saw a situation. The situation was that God sent a message by Gabriel to Daniel, And Gabriel could not deliver the message to Daniel because the prince of Persia, who was that fallen angel who is in charge of the region of Persia, said, you cannot give that message to Daniel because that those people are not your people. They are my people. He said, but how? Aren't they Jews? Yes, but they are worshipping the prince of Persia. They are in my kingdom. They are not in your kingdom. And what was it that could make people who were in sin, what could absolve them? You tell me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus was used by Michael to say these people are forgiven of their sins.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That blood was shed before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah, God gave deliverance to humanity by the blood.
Yes.
So that sin was not more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin would be put aside, hallelujah, in the face of this blood. But then, it was in those days, it was only faith in the shed blood which should be shed. So I want you to look with me over into Exodus. Let's get to Exodus and see a picture here. In Exodus chapter 12, I think. Amen. We find Moses being instructed of God about the blood. In verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses. Now remember, the blood was going to be put on wooden houses, or wall, daub, mortar. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever. Now praise be to God. What was going to happen here? He was going to put blood over the doorpost and the lintels, and it was going to protect them. But what kind of thing is that? Why did the devils stop when they saw the blood? And I tell you what, any of you ever seen Star Wars? You see Star Wars, didn't you? You don't want to own it up now, but I know you've seen it. And the situation with a brother or a sister who is in or under the power of the blood is that the glory of God break forth out of you, hallelujah, and smite the evil spirit and turn him back. And it hurts him. It tears him up. Because he is darkness and you are light. You see? So it is what we are talking about, the blood of Jesus Christ. We mean the energy life of God. We're talking about a life force that you have captured through faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Remember, Moses was going to put blood. It was just an ordinary lamb, and it was the blood of that lamb put on the doorpost and on the lintel, and that blood was going to defend them from evil spirits. Therefore, the evil spirits must have seen something. Hallelujah. The evil spirits weren't playing a game. They were coming for keeps. And if there was an Israelite, a Jew, who did not put that blood on his doorpost and on his lintel, then the evil spirit would have entered.
Amen.
And if there was a Jew or an Israelite who came out of from under that blood and was caught outside at midnight, he would be dead.
Amen.
So it means then that God arranged, you see. God called the devils and he said, you go down into Egypt and you kill every firstborn that you can kill. I don't know if you know that's what God, is how God does things. Somebody said, but says, how do you know it was evil spirit? You thought it was God's angels? Somebody here thought it was God's angels, eh? The scripture said it was evil angels. He sent the evil angels down into Egypt and he said, kill every firstborn. Hallelujah. He said, you cannot enter to anywhere else but through the door or through the window. And he said, kill every firstborn. Now, when the evil spirits went, they found out that there were some firstborn who were protected. There were some people who they went to kill, but they could not enter because of a light shining from the doorpost and from the lintel, and it was the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, even before it was shed, because of faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, brethren, many of us suffer because we do not believe.
Yes.
Even
yes.
Among Christians, we don't believe in the very power that we have in our hands.
Hallelujah.
There is a power surging through this building right now.
Amen.
Right now, there is a power surging through this building. And the only way you reach it and get it and pull it to yourself is if you believe.
Amen.
By faith. And this is what God has ordained. God has ordained that the blood of Jesus Christ should be in a dimension of spirit. I wonder if you understand me. It should be in a frequency that only faith can pull it down.
Amen.
And only faith can use it. Now, some of us, when we get frightened, we have a way of saying, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. That doesn't do any good. Amen. Hallelujah. You ever heard of that? Oh yeah. I've heard people say, plead the blood. And say, the blood, 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 the blood. You know, it's superstition. I'm talking about the real thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that it is here tonight. I'm talking about Jesus himself that is in here tonight. And we cannot see him. We cannot perceive his light. We cannot see his glory, but we can feel it.
Amen.
Amen. Because we believe it.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe, you receive. You see here, as we sit down here tonight, every one of you that have a request before God, and while I am talking about the blood, you hold that request in your heart, do you know that you must receive it?
Yes.
There is no way that you could leave this building tonight and not receive the request of your heart because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That there is no force on earth or in hell that can resist the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the blood will come to you in the dimension to which you believe.
Amen.
Don't you understand? You believe little, you get little.
Hallelujah.
You believe halfway, you get halfway. You believe much, you get much.
Amen.
And there is no end to it. That thing has no end to it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In other words, the blood of Jesus Christ will raise the dead. It will heal the sick. One night, we were in a meeting preaching. And I was in the middle of the message. And a car stopped at the door and two men brought in. At first I thought they were carrying a sack. The two men had the thing between them coming along. They came right up to where the podium was, I was preaching from. They put it down. It was a woman. She was bound with rope from her ankles right up to her shoulders. She was bound with ropes. And they put her down. And I looked at them. They said nothing to me. I looked at them. I said to them, "Loose her." And they looked at me like this and started to back out slowly. Amen. And I approached the woman to loose her, and they backed out a little faster. And while I'm bending down, pulling the rope from her feet, they start the car. And the man actually put one foot in the car and stand up watching to see when the woman explodes. Because they knew she was a start-staring mad woman. I pulled the rope around, release her hand, come right up to her neck, pull off the rope, and throw it down, and look her in the eyes. "Lord bless you, sister. Be healed in the name of Jesus." She said, "Thank you."
Amen.
And she walked out. Hallelujah. Amen. I had 5 cases like that. Mad people, totally mad, who were just completely delivered immediately without any screaming or any noise or any other problem. Walk out made whole because I believed it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because I believe Jesus. It never occurred to me that that woman was going to jump on me and tear me up. It never occurred. Never thought of it. Just pull the rope. Set her free. Hallelujah. And I say, beloved, that the blood of Jesus Christ is much, much more powerful than we believe. And we need to begin to use the blood of Jesus Christ to set ourselves free from every problem, every bondage.
Amen.
For blessed be to God, Israel must be free. Hallelujah. And I remember when Moses stood before Pharaoh, the message was, "Let my people go." Hallelujah. He said, "Let my people go."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And say, Pharaoh said, "Who is your God? Huh? I am making millions and millions of dollars a day selling bricks." Huh? Making millions of dollars a day selling bricks, building all the houses in Egypt, and you, who are you to come and tell me to let my people go? Who is your God that I may know him? Hallelujah. And then God told Moses to throw down his serpent, his stick, his rod. And when he threw down his rod, it became a serpent. And I can imagine Pharaoh just rocked back in his big, chair, and he looked at Jannes and Jambres. And Jannes and Jambres looked at Moses, this little boy that we taught these little tricks, he come play this trick on us. So they took their rods and they threw it down. And it also became serpents. But something happened that they didn't bargain for, that Moses' serpent just swallowed up all of their serpents, and they lost their rods. Now that should have been assigned to them, because the rod of a sorcerer, the rod of one of these hoodoo men, is authority.
Yeah.
That is the symbol of his power. And Moses' rod took it away. And you know what happened? When Moses grabbed his rod, his serpent by the tail, it turned into his rod again, and it wasn't any bigger.
Yeah.
It had swallowed up all those rods and all those serpents, and it didn't get bigger.
Amen.
And that should be a sign to them that the power of God was greater. But no, they went all down the line 10 times they tempted God. 10 plagues God sent on them. The last one was death. Amen. I don't know if you hear what I hear.
Amen.
Amen. But he said the last plague was death. The death of the firstborn. And he said, you have slain my firstborn. You have kept my firstborn as prisoners. And you have worked them. And you have murdered the young. And you have done all kind of harm to my firstborn. Well, I'm going to kill your firstborn. And so God did. But listen, brethren. That if you think it is a story I'm telling you about way down yonder in Egypt land, you're making a sad mistake. I'm telling you about what we are facing tonight.
Amen.
I'm telling you the world goes around, history goes around in cycles. You know, you ever heard the word say, history repeats itself. History goes around in cycles. And what is happening tonight is only what has happened already. And the same spirits are playing over again. But you know, as I tell the brethren, I said the modern man is the best man that demons could ever have. You know, he has knowledge. You know, he has more understanding. He has a capacity, amen, to absorb the things of Satan more than any other man that has ever been on the earth before. And because of this, Satan is playing his game over again. And he's going to play it with a modern man. And you are, fortunately or unfortunately, in the place of Moses. We are going to have to play again the game and play it right. But praise be to God, there is good news on our side. Hallelujah. Because we no longer depending upon a dead rod, you see. We have the authority inside of us. Amen. The rod of Moses is Hallelujah. Within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rod of Moses is within us.
Amen.
Because we have now not only the blood of Jesus Christ circle in this building, within the scope of this building, but we have it within us.
Amen.
And it is the blood without and the blood within. And the Lord God said that Michael, the archangel, meaning to say God has a general. Oh yes, God has a general who is directing the spiritual forces to fight on our behalf.
Amen.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But they are darkness and we are light.
Amen.
And I believe that sometimes we forget it. I believe we forget it sometimes. I have seen the people of God being losers, being losers, being beaten. Hallelujah. Being turned back. And you wonder, you know, David lamented one time. He had a great weeping and crying. And he went before God. And he said, oh my God. He said, Amasa, he died as a fool dies. He said, he had Abner. That's right. I knew I was calling the wrong word, but I just couldn't figure it out. See, I look at her, she said, Abner. He said, Abner dies as a fool. He said, Abner had his sword in his sheath. And Abner made Joab call him and kiss him. And while he held him by his beard, kissing him, he took out his sword and slew him. And he said, oh God. You know, if Abner had fought with Job and he had lost the battle, David would be satisfied. But Abner was a fool. He thought that Joab loved him. And he was careless in that one moment. And he was slain by Joab. Hallelujah. And I see the same condition in the church. I see us many times losing with the power of God in the sheath by our side. Hallelujah. Amen. I see us losing because of lack of knowledge. I see us losing because of shortage in our faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you have a God, why don't you believe in Him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have a God, why do you allow the devil to be raging around you and you don't believe enough in your God as the devil people believe in their devil?
Hallelujah.
Amen. It would seem to me that the satanic forces are more advanced. It would seem that the satanic forces are more advanced in their department than the people of God in theirs.
Amen.
It would seem to me that the people of the devil believe more in the things of the devil than the people of God believe in the things of God. But praise God, there is a people who will believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there is a people who will rise up.
Hallelujah.
And I'm saying, dear brethren, that we are at the very end of the end of time.
Yes.
And things are going to happen around here that you never thought could happen. Amen. Most people are worried about the interest rates and about the economy and so on, so on. So you don't have to worry. It's just going to get worse.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need to worry about it. It's going to get worse.
Amen.
In other words, it goes up and down. And every time it goes up, people get happy and say, oh, dear, I tell you, if things are brighter, they're going to get better. And so on. But listen, brethren, it's going to get worse. Amen. And it's going to be worse. And all you have to do now is to concentrate on Jesus. You know, start looking up.
Hallelujah.
Start looking to God for your deliverance. Start looking to God for your food, your clothes, your whatever you want. Start looking to God and stop looking down. I know it's difficult for a man who's used to looking down to look up. His head gets stuck in a downward stance, you know. Shoulder hump. Amen. But I want you to know, brethren, that God is going to make you look up. Because when you get thrown backwards, there's nowhere else to look but up. Amen. And I just believe that things are going to throw us in that position that we have to look up. Right now, do you know the problem with the church, the weakness that we have amongst us, and why we can't move forward, and so many heresies and things like that? It's because we have too much.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've got too much. If we had nothing, we would be serving God, most of us. Now it's unfortunate that we're like that, but that's how human beings are. The less we have, the more we would look to God. The more we have, the less we look to God.
Amen.
Some people have complete trust in their pensions, in their pocketbooks, in the amount you have in the bank, and so on. Suppose that should be taken away tomorrow. What would happen to us? Amen? The only people who would be happy is those who had nothing from the beginning. Yeah, I met a man a couple of days ago, and you know, it was a real joke. He said, brother, he said, you know, the interest rate don't affect me. He said, when President Reagan said that they were going to raise taxes, it don't affect me. He said, he said that they were going to give things so much percent off the income tax, it didn't affect me. You know, he said, you know why? He said, I had nothing.
Yeah.
He said, It, nothing affects me. I don't feel the interest rate. I don't feel the prices when they go up or when they come down, because he doesn't buy anything. He has nothing. You see, I had to scratch my head and say, what kind of man you are? You know, don't go to the grocery. You know, but praise be to God. It means to say that the time is coming when we are going to have to rely more on the power of God.
Amen.
Than on the power of the world.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I'll show you it again. You look with me again into Daniel, and you look at that first verse. I know I just skimmed over it. I didn't look at it. I want you to look at it and hear what it says, because it's speaking directly to us here tonight. It, in verse 1 it says, and at that time, that means there will be a time in the history of the world that Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. You hear that? A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that same time, thy people shall be delivered, every single one that shall be found written in the book.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So there is a revival coming, a great revival coming, greater than anything that the world had ever seen. People are going to be saved by the dozens on the street. People are going to be running and asking, anybody know about God? Tell me about him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I heard that when in 1973, when there was that attack in Israel, when Egypt and all Syria attacked Israel, that the people of Israel began to rush the bookstores to get Bibles.
Amen.
And that a Bible could not be had, for they cleaned out all the bookstores because everybody wanted to know about Gog and Magog. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And because they knew about Gog and Magog, and they knew they were strengthened in the word of God that they would win. And it was a miracle that they won. They miraculously turned the battle tide right over, and they won. So we are talking here about a time of trouble as well as a time of glory, a time when the blood is going to rise up. When you see the word Michael, whenever you see the word Michael, you know he is the angel of the covenant. You know, he is the angel that carries the blood. And when you hear the Bible speaking and it says, Michael shall stand up for the people of God. But he said, at that time, you're going to have trouble. Are we preparing for trouble? I just ask you a question. I just throw it out. Are we preparing for trouble? Or we said, oh, things are going to be all right. You know, we're always going to be on the winning side. There is going to be such trouble that you don't even think about it in your mind tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I won't itemize the trouble because I don't know myself. Amen.
Amen.
See, but the Bible said trouble, and when the Bible said trouble, I know it's going to be trouble, because it says there will be such a trouble as never was since God made man, and never will be ever again.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said it. Let's turn our Bibles around and look at Jesus speaking the same thing, that there was going to be a time of trouble. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, of course it is in Luke also, but we can look at it in Matthew. It says here, verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And many people said, what is this saying? Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Now, winter is the time when all the life, nature, all the life goes down into the root of the trees. And a winter land is just dead with snow and ice, cold everywhere. And God is saying, brethren, you pray that you are not cold and having a winter spell when this thing begins to happen.
Amen.
See, it's not the natural winter he's talking, because there is winter somewhere every day. See, there is winter somewhere every day. So if God was saying to you, pray that there is not winter at the time, if it's not winter for you, it's going to be winter for somebody else. So it's not the natural winter he's talking about. See, he said in verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. And let me just put one word in and you'll understand what that means. Woe unto the pastors. Woe unto those who are responsible for other people's souls. Yes. They are giving out suck like a woman giving suck to a child, the life coming from her body to the body of the child to sustain that child. God said, woe unto those who are supporting other people by their spiritual life.
Right.
You know, at midnight there is a cry, oh pastor, please pray for me, my head is hurting. You know what, that sort of thing. And the pastor is giving suck to the church. God said, woe be unto them. And so verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God is saying that there is a time in the history of the world coming that it will be so terrible and so bad that it couldn't last long, or else no human being would be left alive. Amen. So you can understand what the devil is planning for us. He said no human being would be left alive. Exactly what Daniel said. There's going to be trouble, brethren. Now, I am saying this because I believe that the trouble is for now. I believe that we who are sitting down here in this room are all going to live and experience the trouble if some accident doesn't take us home. And I am saying, brethren, that what kind of a preparation are you making? The first preparation is in faith, in the blood of Jesus Christ, and in the power of God to defend his people.
Hallelujah.
We must believe. We must believe now that God will deliver us. If you don't believe, you are in trouble. You turn to the psalm. You turn to that psalm, and you will see there it's saying that some people will be safe, but that some will be in trouble. For every word of God, you can take it in the converse, you know, and you will see as much lie in the converse as in the direct. The speech, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's read that verse in the converse. He that dwelleth not in the secret place of the Most High shall not abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
There you are.
Amen.
See. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, just like a hen would cover her chickens when the hawk is coming. That's what he's saying. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that fly by thee. He's talking about missiles. In those days, it was just a little arrows that they had, you know. But now there are some big arrows, intercontinental ballistic arrows, you know. Praise be to God. They travel across the whole continent to bring destruction. See? So there are big arrows.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. And he's saying that it is for those only who dwell, who live in the secret place of the Most High, and you can only live there through faith. Believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is yours to deliver you and to keep you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God really gave us so much scriptures. You know, I think of Moses going through the wilderness with almost 3 million people, little children, and you know, little children and old people going through that heat. I'm telling you, I don't think I could spend 1 hour in that desert. I've been in the desert out in California, both desert, the Mojave Desert and the other one there, and sometimes it is 130 degrees, and the heat, you can see it just coming up from the earth, and the sun mercilessly beating down. If you don't have a cover over your head, you would surely die. Praise God. And I am saying that God kept those Israelites, covered them over with a cloud. Amen. And the cloud walked with them all along. The cloud was a shade by day, a shadow by day. Hallelujah. And a pillar of fire by night. They had fluorescent light over the whole camp of almost 3 million people camping out in the desert floor. And God was their light. God gave them water to drink when they were thirsty. God covered them. God sheltered them. God healed their shoes. God healed their clothes. It wasn't a lot of raggedy people tattered 40 years in the wilderness, and the one suit was just as clean and beautiful as the day they left Egypt.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And this is the God we're talking about.
Amen.
So God is able to keep you under any circumstance. And tonight what God is saying, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, He wants to keep this church, but you're going to have to believe it.
Amen.
You're going to have to believe the blood for everything. And let me just give you the last verse here. You go back into the 12th chapter of Revelation, and you see here verse 11 giving you how they overcame the devil. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now let's go back on it. You know, the old church, what we come from, they speak of the blood of Jesus Christ as a red, sticky substance, a thing that comes out of your vein when you prick your finger. Isn't that the way that most of us think of the blood of Jesus? Well, I'm putting new thoughts into your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ is the energy and life force of God Almighty that He had put into Jesus' veins.
Amen.
And Jesus got Himself killed so that in such a way that the blood would drain out.
Yeah.
If He had died any other death, the blood wouldn't have drained out. But He got Himself killed in such a way that they hung Him up. And the Bible said the blood drained down into His stomach, and it drained from His hand, and it drained from His face, and it drained from His feet, and it drained from His back, you know. And it came down into His stomach. And that the soldier took the sword and plunged it into His side, and the blood and water gushed out.
Amen.
Blessed be to God Almighty.
And the reason is that that life of God that was pent up in Jesus had to be let loose.
Amen.
And when the life of God was let loose, the only way you could get it is by getting on God's wavelength.
Amen.
And God's wavelength is to believe God.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that not even an evil spirit can work if you don't believe him? Amen. The Bible said, if you resist the devil, what? He will flee from you. If you resist the devil, he flees so fast.
Amen.
Amen. I remember kneeling down to pray, and a devil coming over me and said, I will make you the greatest healer in the world. He showed me a big tent. I'll give you a big tent. I'll make you the greatest healer in the world. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I was talking to Jesus. And I felt so good, and I'm sure that I want nothing else in life but what Jesus gave. He disappeared.
Amen.
Immediately disappeared.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I am saying, brethren, that you need to consider more and more the blood of Jesus Christ as a living force.
Yeah.
Walking with you.
Amen.
And talking with you.
Awesome.
And moving around you. And the reason is that when a spirit looks at you, he does not just see you as you are. He sees you in whatever light you are. If you are bright, he sees you bright. If you are dull, he sees you dull. If you have a spot of darkness in your heart, he sees it. And he heads straight for it. Oh yes. He knows whether he can tempt you and get away with it or not. Because he sees the darkness there and he goes after the darkness. So God is saying that we need to believe in what we believe.
Amen.
Too many of us believe halfway in what we believe in.
Amen.
Too many of us are quarter Christians.
Amen.
You know, a brother came to a full gospel meeting one night and he said, this is more like a half gospel. I mean, they didn't feel good about it. But he said, some of you have a three-quarter gospel, some have a half, and some have a quarter, and I haven't seen the full gospel. So, you see, many of us don't have the strength of belief to lay down our lives and our daily actions upon the things that we say we believe in, and God's going to challenge us.
Amen.
You know why? You know why God's going to challenge us? Because the devil is claiming is right. You get up and you say with your mouth, you believe so and so, and you speak with your mouth, and you really don't believe it. The devil come to God and say, did you hear that, Lord? If that man says he is so and so and he believes so and so, then I must go and test him up on that ground. And God will have to give him his right and allow him to test you up on that ground. This is why Job was attacked by the devil.
Amen.
Praise be to God. And I am saying, brethren, again I repeat, great revival in this land. So great that we won't have place, housing. This little church is no good for that revival. Amen. The people will be coming in by the thousands.
Praise be to God.
But great trouble in this land.
Amen.
For many people will be running like chickens with their heads cut off. And many people who should be standing will be running. The only way you're going to stand is by faith in the Word of God, by faith in God.
Amen.
By the word of your testimony.
Amen.
And by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'll close here. And if there are a few people who want me to pray with you tonight, I will. If there are some people who have a word you want to say, praise God. I just feel that we should spend the next couple of minutes, 10 minutes maybe, as the Lord leads, just to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, come, Larry. You said you had a vision you want to give.
Oh, okay, I'll give that too.
Or so ago, I had a dream that the Lord really impressed upon me that I believe I was supposed to share it with the body itself. And it started out that I was in a grocery store that I used to work in, and I was looking for a jacket to wear because I knew there was a storm coming and I had to walk home. And in the dream, I was looking around, and I went back in the area where the employees take breaks, because that's where I used to be all the time, and I was looking at the jackets to see if I had left anything there, and left a jacket that I had when I used to work there. And I saw some jackets that were on a shelving, and they were neatly folded and everything, and then I saw some that were hanging up on a wall. And but I didn't see anyone that I knew of, you know, that I recognized as mine. So then I came back down out of the break room, and then the next scene, I was at my house in Urbana, and again, I was looking for a jacket to wear because I knew a storm was coming. And what it was, I didn't know that much about the storm. I thought it was a rainstorm at that time. And my dad and my brother were downstairs watching TV. And so, just as we were looking for it, a news bulletin came over the air. And I remember it was on Channel 3, and it said, and the lady talked about a storm, and she said that it would be hitting soon, and I didn't hear the name of the type of storm, but it wasn't a rainstorm when she said it. And but they showed a listing of different towns nearby around here, and I only remember Champaign-Urbana, and it said 1 minute. It said 0.01, and that's when it was supposed to hit Urbana. And I didn't. So I looked at my dad and I said, "Well, I'm glad I stayed home, Dad. You know, I'm glad I'm here instead of out walking." And they went on to say in the newscast, they said that it was they showed a preview of it, and all I saw in the preview, it was sort of funny. I didn't understand it, but it was like an old monster movie where a man was dressed up in a costume type of thing. You could see his face, but he was dressed in a costume, a monster costume, walking through some woods. And they said this was a storm that was coming. And then they said, look for the storm hits when you see a spider on your TV. That they said that was a tail sign of it. And right after they said that, the storm hit, and it wasn't a rainstorm. It was a storm of spiders. I mean, it wasn't raining. It was raining, but it was spiders that were raining out of the sky, and it looked like a tarantula. You know, we looked on our TV, and there was a spider on our TV, and it looked very similar to a tarantula. But in my heart, I don't know if it was. And so my dad and I were downstairs, they started coming in underneath the door one at a time. And so I picked up a fly swatter and started killing them as they came in the door. And so then my dad and I were trying to figure out something to stick underneath the door so that they wouldn't come in anymore. But we didn't... that was basically the way it ended. We were just trying to figure out something to stick underneath the door to stop the spiders from coming in. And after I came out of the dream, I woke up and told my wife about it. But we really felt that I was supposed to share it with the body. Whether for interpretation or not, I don't know. But I know that it was a storm coming of some type. And that God wanted the body to know.
Amen.
So I leave it at that.
Praise God. Yeah, well, let me make a few remarks about the young man shall see visions and the old man dream dreams. When God begins to pour out His Spirit upon you, I remember when I met Reedy some months ago, he said he never had a dream. He doesn't have visions and dreams yet. Oh.
He doesn't have a microphone.
You mean you can't hear me? You should have asked me to turn up the volume.
Praise the Lord. Yes, he didn't have dreams and visions. And as we worked together, he fasted and prayed, and he started having visions and dreams. One of the visions he had was a vision of Katie. Hallelujah. And it was so vivid that he was frightened. He was real frightened, you know, frightened young man. And we talked about it, and I laughed, you know, and then the phone rang, and there was Katie on the phone, you know. And it was just something that God must have done. But I am saying this to say that some visions are of God and some dreams are of God. There are dreams that come from your own mind, which we call soulish dreams and soulish visions. But you'll know those differently because you've been thinking about it. Amen. And there are some visions and dreams that come from the devil. And you'll also know those because they don't really glorify God.
Right.
Praise God. But this one, I think that it has some merit to it, that God is saying something to us. I personally think that God is saying that some preacher going to hit town that is going to just scatter poison all over, and that this body must look out, because you might well accept him here before you really know what you got. And that's the man with the monkey face. Hallelujah. And the poison, you know, it's like the locust that would come on the land, God said, and lick up the all the green things. Well, praise God. There's so much for that dream. There was one other part there. Okay, I forgot that. But that's the main part of it. Does anyone else have anything else on that you'd want to say? What was it? Yes. Yes. Praise God. The spiders. Yes. Yes, that's what they're saying. The spider lives in dark places. He likes dark corners, see? Yes? Covering, yes. That's part of what I wanted to say. Quite. That we need to get that covering before the spiders come, see? We need to be covered. Many of us take false doctrines as, you know, we say, oh, well, the brother believed differently from me. It's either that it's going to be light or darkness. It's either God or the devil. You know, one of us is either telling the truth or the lie. You see, and this is a situation where we need to clean up our act and not walk in the place of these dark doctrines. Because I know a lot of it is coming through the mail.
And I would advise you to start cleaning out your mail.
Right.
You know, these guys got your names already, but if you can get your names off those lists, because there's no use getting mail that is hurting you every time you look at it. It's painful. Praise God. So I am saying that you should start cleaning out your mail, and you still should start being very careful about who you invite to come and speak. In other words, it must be of God. He said that some of the spiders were getting under the door. The door was closed, but the spider was still getting under the door. That means he was catching some of the brethren outside and poisoning them. See, and I know a lot of poisons are coming from high places.
That's right.
That is, some brothers that we used to fellowship with and that have a good word normally, they have allowed certain poison to enter into their lives. And I am telling you, brethren, that you young guys and you young gals, if you don't clean your act up now, it's not going to clean up anymore. When you get older, you're not going to manage it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying a person who sweeps something under the rug when he's young, when you get older, he can't handle it. It's going to break out on him. And this is what we see with many preachers, that they preach very good coming right up, and as they start getting older, they start letting out some things that they never said before. And we don't have to submit to this. Yes.
The refuge was also in his father's house, where he was familiar.
Pete says his refuge was in his father's house, where he was familiar and so on. And that would be God saying that your refuge would be to stick to the body where you know that you get good food to eat. Amen. Praise God.
That's the fact that he had on the monster suit.
Yeah.
It was a man.
Yeah.
To me, that was a revelation of the beast nature from within. That, and I thought of the Antichrist in the Holy Place.
Spirit. Yeah. Praise God. I think that's a perfect word. Amen. I think that's a perfect. Do you understand what he said? He said, for the main fact that the man had on this monster suit, It's the beast nature, and it's the Antichrist in the holy place that we have been preaching about. Yes, did somebody raise your hand? Yes. Of the television program, the media, it was coming through the media of communication, you know. Praise God. Strange enough, you know, I was just hearing that they are going to be rigging television sets in the future so that they can even eavesdrop into your homes while you switch that set on. That right now they are able to tell how many people are listening to any particular program by an electronic device. They can tell how many people are listening to that program, and they're not allowed to pry too much into your home. But the time is coming when your television sets might well be a two-way business. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's pray for this case. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I just feel it on my heart to say a few things in light of the message, you know. The Bible said if in Isaiah 26:3, those who keep their mind on the Lord, he'll keep them in perfect peace. And fear is not of the Lord. Like when Joshua went into sending the messages into the spies into the land, and two came back saying there's giants in the land, but they was confident that they could take the land over because they was men of God. They was confident in God. Fear is not of God, and if fear start to govern the Christian, hallelujah, then that's a sign of weakness. And that's a sign of suppression. God said that He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That means I walk into any country, into any diversity of race, and if I have a love in my heart and I'm hooked up with God, I'm not fearing anything. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do you have anything to say to that?
Remove all glory of God. We rebuke the fear right now in the name of Jesus.
Get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus, get out.
Hallelujah.
We
rebuke the spirit of fear, Lord God. And every other unclean thing that they have harbored in their lives, we command that there be a complete deliverance at this moment.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, Zion, hallelujah.
Praise.
Touch
Holy
Jesus
Spirit.
Christ.
Amen.
For your anointing on.
Praise.
And bring forth the praise of God. Amen.
Father, we just rebuke the curse of that poison doctrine from the past, oh God. You have nothing in them, Saint. For they are sanctified and made every way whole by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And you have nothing in them. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are indeed robed with the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
Amen, Father.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Rabbah.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.